Rod and Emily, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you take over.
Okay, well, Emily's going to give it a start, and then I think we're going to have Kelly say a few words about the Hydrobed and accessories, and so go ahead,
sure.
Emily.
I want to thank you all for being here and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I know that most of you had probably a little more stuff that you could have done today than be on this call, but we appreciate it. With Nebraska being one of the largest beef states, we wanted all, and we have a lot of beef clients, we wanted to talk about a lot of cattle equipment assistant technology stuff that we use here in Nebraska. We are the leading cattle feeding state in the U.S. 34% of our corn production goes to ethanol plants in Nebraska. About 18% of that is fed to cattle. However, Rod and I decided that the number is pretty much skewed, as a lot of the corn that goes into our ethanol plants comes back out and is fed also as a byproduct for our cattle. So not just whole corn gets fed, but that byproduct as well. So in the last 10 years, cattle equipment has really, really made numbers and movements throughout the United States. It's making working cattle as well as feeding cattle much easier and safer for farmers and ranchers to use, not only just regular farmers and ranchers, but also those with disabilities. So some of the main disabilities that Rod and I see here in Nebraska with a lot of cattle are the aging farmer and rancher, back injury. We have upper extremity injuries, arthritis, stroke, mobility, and spinal cord injury. We are going to do today a little bit talking about the Hydrobed, as well as Kelly's going to talk with us some more about a new feed box that we were going to be introducing. This feed box will be able to go on a Hydrobed, and it will be powered by that. It's a larger feed box so that farmers and ranchers will be able to transport more byproduct corn, cake, further distances without having to just haul it with like a trailer or even with a tractor and a wagon. So this will be pretty exciting for us. Right now, I am going to turn the phone over to Kelly Florell. He is one of our largest vendors here in the state for AgriBility with the Hydrobed, and he will explain more about what he does. So go ahead, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly Florell with Kelly Sales and Service, and we're in Elk Creek, Nebraska. We've been a vendor for Hydrobed for, I was just looking it up here, and it's actually been 6 years, and we've worked with several different cases. And three of the cases that we worked with the AgriBility program, we discovered new things that the Hydrobed will do. We offer a couple other beds as well, Bessler and Dewey's, but we find that the Hydrobed has the best fit for the program with its engine-driven pump, and it also has remote controls, and the bed itself is still has a valve body underneath the bed where you can still actually manually operate the bed. And that's been a new addition in the last couple of years for folks that have been either in a wheelchair or were just hard to reach over into the bed. The Hydrobed will allow you to, we've had a Hydra feeder, a cake feeder that goes on, and there's two sizes of those, a 1200 and a 1800. We have a post hole digger, we have a wire winder. Anything that's hydraulic you can put with it if your truck can handle it. And one of the things that I've kind of been seeing and looking at is that guys around in our area have been using the old Kelly Ryan feed wagons. And we've been working with the Roggies and Kelly Ryan, and we've come up with this new feeder box that will hold 2,500 pounds, and you can back up with the bed and pick it up and set it on. And the whole unit itself, I think we're looking at like 3,500 pounds is unit loaded. But it's a great way to handle distillers. And for the clients of AgriBility, They won't have to be doing so much climbing or so much of in and out of the pickup and handling pins and maneuvering the stuff around.
Well, I think one thing there I might insert, Kelly, is that you briefly mentioned Roggies. Andrew Rogge is a young man from southeast Nebraska that's been an AgriBuildi client for about 2 years. He had an amputation in an auto accident. And as we worked with him and was doing his plan and with VR and did the farm visit and all of that, he mentioned that his grandfather actually started Kelly Ryan Manufacturing in Blair, Nebraska. And I think that Kelly Ryan feed wagon has probably been around. I think if any of you older guys probably remember that this probably was one of the first feed wagons you ever saw. I think they're pretty much all over the country. And so we did mention this to Andrew and his dad Mike, and made a trip up to Blair to the manufacturing plant and we pretty much explained to them what our need was. Both Emily and I were seeing more and more of a need of transporting distillers and mineral cubes over long distances, rather than use the, like Emily said, use the tractor and the wagon. And they actually developed this product, and I think it's going to be coming online here very shortly, and we'll be putting it on the website whenever it becomes available commercially, because I don't think, Kelly, they're quite ready yet, are they?
No, we should. I'm supposed to have my first ones here between Christmas and New Year's, but Mike and Andrew have been operating one for a year.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the testing one that's went down there. And that's how kind of this whole thing started off, was that I had a client outside of town that was trying to use his Kelly Ryan feed wagon. We put a hydraulic pump or hydraulic motor on his feeder wagon, plugged it into the back of the pickup, and then he would take his bales and he'd take the feeder wagon with him that was loaded with distillers and get there. But it was so much abuse on the pickup. And it was actually abuse on him, too, you know, with his hips, with getting in and out and trying to work and work around it. Anyway, I was been working on this for 3 or 4 years, and it just happened to be that Roggies ended up, that Andrew became a client, and I got to working with Rod and working with the Roggies and explained my idea of what I wanted to do, and they helped me with it and ran with it.
That's kind of exciting to get in on the base the introduction of a new product like
mm-hmm.
this. But I have seen it run. I was down about a month ago. I went down to the Rogge Ranch or farm in southeast Nebraska, down by Humboldt, Nebraska, and they demonstrated it to me. And at that point, I think that they were still working out a couple of kinks. I think one of them was the fact that they had the chute that comes out of the feed wagon was hitting the arms of the hydrobed when they loaded it and unloaded it. And I think, Kelly, I believe they made that into a rubber type of a material so it would still guide the feed down to the ground, but you could still load it and unload it. So a couple of kinks they had to work out with it, but I think it's going to be a great product when it hits the market. So.
Yeah, we talked about the strength of the arms, and I told them that wasn't a problem with hydrobed because hydrobed has put a lifetime guarantee on the arms of the bed. So they were talking about the arms, you know, coming back and forth and with this rubber chute, you know, hurting the arm. And that's nothing to worry about there because they will replace that no matter what. If it bends, breaks, well, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, they're putting that guarantee on the arm.
And of course, looking at it from the point of view of a farmer or rancher with a disability, it's all remote control. It's all run right from the pickup seat. So that's pretty attractive to us on the AgriBuildi end.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions for Kelly? While we've got Kelly on the line here, we're going to let him go. So if anybody has any questions, now would be the time to ask him.
One thing I would like to say is that the client we had in here in the we started working with him in the summer, about a 25-year-old young man that had been in an accident and lost the use of his legs. And he came in, we started the project with him, Agribility had bought him the bed, put the lift on his pickup, the Life Essentials lift, which would put him in his combine seat, the windrower, just kind of however. And I was with him at Husker Harvest Days, and he had the power chair that had tracks on it, which would stand him up, and he could work at a bench top. And anyway, it was so slick because he had about five different remote controls that he carried with him. And that thing, I mean, the pickup, the bed, the lift, that power chair would allow him to do anything that any of the rest of us could do. That, it put him to where he could go and do what he wanted to do, and it just put him completely back mobile again. And it was very neat to be involved with that and to see how that young man got his life back.
Well, we appreciate that, Kelly. And, yeah, it's been a pleasure working with that young man, and he's definitely got the attitude to succeed. And I think that is going to end up being a pretty good success story for the work that you put on it, and, of course, working with Vocational Rehabilitation Services. We don't buy the stuff, I think, is the main thing there. We work with VR, and we're lucky to have a great VR service here in Nebraska that recognizes that agriculture is a pretty distinctive part of our economy. So we get along pretty good with them, and they're willing to go with projects like this. So
I needed to add that, yeah, that VR, without it, we wouldn't be able to see the things happen that we've been able to see do. And what a great program.
Any questions for Kelly? Okay, if not, I guess, Kelly, thank you so much for coming in and participating with us. And you go give that new grandbaby some hugs for us, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking for her. I haven't got to see her yet. I don't even know what her name is. Well, I don't think the parents do, but they got an idea, but they're not saying.
Okay. All right. Well
thank
you very much, Kelly.
Thank you for allowing me.
Thanks, Kelly.
Okay. You want to
go
ahead?
Well, I'm going
to pick up there, Em, or do you want
to? No, I'm going to take it. I'll take it.
Okay.
What I'm going to talk about now is chutes for cattle working. A lot of times here in Nebraska, it breaks down to decide whether we're going to get a manual chute or a hydraulic chute for any of our farmers or ranchers. And Rod and I have determined some different things to make note of for when we decide if it's manual or hydraulic. Number one, it's going to be type of injury. Second is going to be the cattle numbers. How many cattle does this farmer or rancher have? And will buying a hydraulic chute be viable? Will it make money for the farmer? How many catches per year are they going to catch with those cattle? Can this task be delegated? Is there someone else that's there on the farm or the ranch that can actually run the chute instead of having to buy a hydraulic chute? And then as a rule of thumb, we use anywhere from 100 to 150 cattle to recommend a hydraulic. That means that it's going to be equated to be on average at least 600 to 800 catches per year. I don't know how many of you have the website or the PowerPoint presentation that Rod and I are working off of. And if none of you have that, we can send it out later. But one of the first chutes that we're going to talk about is a manual chute, and that is from Aero Cattle Equipment. And this manual chute, it is the most ergonomic chute that Rod and I have seen out on the market. It has long handles for leverage. It requires very little strength to operate. It's very, very easy to handle. Cattle don't seem to bother it with it, and most farmers and ranchers that have gotten this say it's really, really simple, and they don't have to worry about feeling like they're tugging too much and hurting their shoulders or worrying about a secondary injury. So this is a great piece of equipment. Then we're going to go in and talk about hydraulic working chutes. Two of the main ones that Rod and I recommend here in the state of Nebraska are Silencer and Titan West. And granted, there's tons and tons of these out there, so it all depends on what your farmer and rancher is looking for. These seem to be the most popular as well as the best options here in the state of Nebraska currently. It's nice with the hydraulics is everything is hand controlled and it comes down to waist level. So if a farmer is in a wheelchair or a rancher is in a wheelchair, they can sit in their wheelchair and run it, as well as for farmers that have back injuries or hip or knee injuries, they can sit on a stool and run those controls and not have to be touching the chute at all to pull on the levers or tug on anything to get the cattle into the chute. The silencer, what we love about the silencer the most is they have what they call louvers, and these are belted. They're like little belted flaps, so the cattle can't see coming into the chute. They can't see behind them or on the sides of them, so they don't really know that anyone's there. And due to its name, it is one of the quietest chutes out on the market. You can't even hear that it's hooked up to hydraulics. It's very quiet. You can have a normal conversation over it. So if you're working with a large group of people and everyone has a job and you're talking back and forth, you can do those things. The Titan West hydraulic chute, this is the second one we recommend a lot. This one also has a lowered lever bank, which means that it comes to the waist level. But it's, however, a little bit louder than the silencer. They are making a movement. Before, the hydraulics all used to sit right on top of where the head of the cow would go, and they are moving that now, and it's going to be in a bank off to the side so that your hydraulic hoses will run to it from the side. So that'll make it a little less noisy, but they're still working on that. And Rod was going to take over at alleyways.
Okay, alleyways. That's the area leading up to the working chute, and that's an area that's pretty important too. That used to be my job when I was the low man on the totem pole at our farm and ranch. So I got to be the one that pushed the calves up ahead and pushed them into the working chute. So this is an area that's near and dear to me, and any advancements in this area, or I wish I'd have had 15 or 20 years ago. But anyway, the alleyway, what we really like to see in the alleyways, there are manual alleyways that can be adjusted for width anywhere from, you know, a 300 or 400 pound calf on up to the 2,500 pound bull. That's a main feature that we like to see is if they are manual, that they are ergonomically correct, and they don't work they work pretty easy even when they do get covered with manure and waste and that kind of thing. Ideally, the hydraulic chute is what we really recommend, especially if a farmer has any back injury limitations or anything like that, where you can adjust it on the fly. If you happen to see, you can work a calf one time, and if her cow's coming up behind, you can widen it, adjust it on the run. There really are the best way to fly with for the working chute. Now, another thing that is just kind of, I don't know whether this has been on the market and I just didn't know it was there or whether, but I do think this is a development in the last couple of years, is called the turret system. You have to go to the website and look at it, because I'm not going to be able to explain it until I'll tell you exactly how it works, but YouTube has an option there available that you can watch it. What we really like about it is that you can actually sort cattle and not have to go in the pen. You can sit in a chair on the outside of the pen, and it's a turret that sets in the middle of your sorting area, and you can open and close the gates and sort cattle electronically with the remote control. And that is a big plus for, of course, for farmers and ranchers with disabilities. It's also a huge safety factor. You don't have to get into the pen to sort these calves or sort the cows off the calves or to get them advancing down the working chute towards the hydraulic working chute. So that's one to take a look at. We do have just one of those right now that has been delivered. That turret is heavy, I can tell you that. We have one that was delivered about 2 months ago, and they're going to do some work. They're going to put it on cement, build a pad and a roof over it, and they got a lot of work to do. By spring, it should be up and running, and Emily and I can't wait to go down there and see it operate. But it is something that Silencer has come up with. We've worked with the Silencer engineer on this, and I do think it's really going to be something. I would love to see something like this set up at National Training Workshop for everybody to take a look at it, but I'm not sure we can do that. We haven't really tried yet, but it's one huge advancement in cattle working areas that has come along. Another thing, and this is another one that, man, I wish this would have been around 15 or 20 years ago too, but maybe they were, maybe we just couldn't afford it. But the portable cattle catch pens, when you talk about catching, you know, 80 or 100 cows in the middle of nowhere, you really don't have any choice but to load up 40 or 50 panels. What we used to do is load them in the back of the trailer, go to whatever pasture we were going to work cows or calves in, unload them, set them up, work the calves. Then, of course, when you got done, then you had to load them back in the trailer and haul them back home or over to the next site where you were going to work. This portable catch, the portable catch pens have really made some advancements. There's several different companies right now that have them. I think the big decision-making factor there is whether they're hydraulic or not. The ones that the WW Express, I looked at this one a couple of weeks ago at a farm show. It's pretty much totally hydraulic now. They have their own onboard battery that runs the hydraulic system. You can have one of these deployed in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes. You can have an 80 cow pen set up. They also come up to about 120 or 30 cow setups, but you can deploy them quickly. Some guys use their four-wheeler or their utility vehicle to push the panels out and to fold them up again when you're ready to go, but very, very time efficient and definitely a back saver. But you can look at, we've got those websites there included with this PowerPoint that you can take a look at those. Calf catchers, cow-calf operations in Nebraska, we have a lot of them. We deal with a lot of farmers and ranchers with disabilities that have cattle herds. I can think of at least two clients over the past 13 or 14 years that have come to AgriAbility because an old cow took them when they were tagging their calf. It's a fairly dangerous task, and these calf catchers have come along here in the last few years, and it is a good recommendation for safety, and it keeps the old cow away from you while you are tagging the calf, weighing it, or vaccinating it. Keeps the mother cow away from you. Some of the disabilities that we deal with there, of course, back injuries are something that justify it. We do have some amputations that have them, upper extremity injuries, arthritis, stroke, and that kind of thing. It all kind of depends on the disability and whether they're able to operate the utility vehicle and the calf catcher as well. And we've included the two different types there. The one, the red one there on the left, if you're following along on the PowerPoint, is made up in Iowa. It's a good one. It works pretty well with a four-wheeler, and they have attachments that you can also put it on a utility vehicle. They have to send the right brackets for that when you buy it. The gray calf catcher on the right is one that I just learned about last year, and I found out that they're making them about 12 miles from where I live in Grand Island, Nebraska. They make a they make a what I really like about these, and if you're looking at the PowerPoint, are those big wheels for transporting across rough pastures, prairie dog hills, cattle trails, and that kind of thing. They'll bounce right over them, which is something that you need to have. It's also just a bit higher, so if you've got that one cow that's really owly, she would tend not to be able to jump over that. I can't ever say that it won't happen, because you never know with cows, but they're a lot less likely to jump over this one than they are the other one. And there's the websites you can look for those. The Safety Zone Calf Catchers is the one that's made right here, close to where I live in Grand Island, Nebraska. They ship them nationwide, so. The distance is really not a factor there. Before we get into the questions portion of it, when we put this PowerPoint together the other day, naturally there's a whole bunch of things you think of afterwards, and there are a few things that I thought I should mention that we have made as recommendations in the last couple of years that I thought I should bring up. One is a bunk blower, and that's simply a machine that mounts on the PTO of a tractor and a three-point. And a blower, actually, what it does is cleans cement-lined feed bunks. And as much cattle feeding as we do in the state, we have some clients, actually, that have up to some of them a half a mile or may have a mile of fence-lined feed bunk. Some of the larger lots, you know, this is an absolute must to have if you have like a 25 or 50,000 head lot. And you might have 3 or 4 miles of bunk line to clean out. If it snows 6 inches or a foot, that's a lot of scooping. And they definitely are a back saver. We have put out some of these where it normally may not be a justification, but if you have a back injury or amputation or whatever, where you really can't spend a lot of time on your feet, these mount on your tractor. There's one on the website there. There's one that's made in West Point, Nebraska, and I didn't include that. You'll have to email me for the information for the one that's made in Colorado. Normally they blow about 380 miles an hour up to about 400 miles an hour, and that's directed through a tube that runs about 6 inches off the base of the cement feed bunk, and I think they also have a YouTube you can watch, but that really makes the snow fly, and you can clean a lot of bunk really fast. So that's one thing that we've recommended two or three of those in the last couple of years, because every once in a while it does snow in Nebraska. I'm sure northern states probably utilize these more than what we do, but we do get enough snow that it can be a problem. The MetaDart, a relatively simple system, it can be a real saver. This is for vaccinating calves without catching them. I can tell you of at least one personal experience years ago where I chased a calf all over a pasture trying to catch it because it had pneumonia and I wanted to vaccinate it. And by the time I got it up, the calf was exhausted enough that it just laid over and died right there in front of me. Well, that was a real fruitful day, to say the least. But this was before the time of the MetaDart. Maybe they were around. I may not have known about them at that time, but actually, it can, for a farmer rancher with disability, it really does. Saves a lot of stress on the calf and the user as well. They come in either a crossbow type or a CO2 rifle type. I kind of prefer the crossbow type. It basically it's filled with gas, and it's the medication. It hits the animal, and the needle penetrates the hide, and then the ejector loop pushes back, and it breaks the seal on the valve, and that releases the medication into the animal. And then as it resets, it creates air pressure and blows the dart back out of the calf. So you don't have to chase the calf all over the place to try to get your dart back. But they normally, after it hits them, it just drops down on the ground right next to them. No stress on you, no stress on the calf, and you get them medicated. So that's been a recommendation that we've made a few times over the last couple of years. drones. We have not gotten into that yet. I was brought up at a farm visit just the other day, and the counselor I was with kind of rolled his eyes yet. I don't know whether that's going to come into being yet. I know this just this week they passed a bunch of federal regulations on them, and it probably needs to be done with the amount of drones that are expected to hit the marketplace over Christmas. But it's definitely something that we've got our eye on. We've not made that recommendation yet, but I'm looking for it down the road to be a recommendation to check cattle, check water, check fence lines, that kind of thing. It's probably going to come. It's already being used quite a bit to check fields for old plugged center pivot nozzles and that kind of thing. They're a pretty valuable tool. Last thing I'm going to bring up, and I don't know how we're doing time-wise, Steve, but...
You're good.
Okay. You're good. The last thing I'm going to talk about is cattle guards, or in some places, some parts of the country, they call them auto gates. Basically, the steel pipe that they're welded together in a square so you can drive your pickup over it. The cattle are supposed to be afraid of it and not jump over it or walk back out of it. Recently, I was working with a rancher up in the Chadron area. He was is paraplegic now. He was checking his cattle on his motorcycle a year ago and fell off. Well, he hit some ripples on a gravel road and is ended up being paraplegic. It was actually a Candace out in Colorado was actually referred him to us. And we're working with him now and just kind of getting his plan all in place. We did the first part of his plan with his Life Essentials lift and Hydrobed and that kind of thing. And now we're taking a look at cattle gates and access to his pastures and his fields. He's got a fairly large number of acres out there in northwest Nebraska. And probably we were looking at the neighborhood of 12 or 15 gate entrances. So immediately I thought, well, you know, we need to get some cattle guards in there or auto gates. And I priced them out, and the best price I could get on them was $114 a running foot. It ended up being for just six or seven. I think we priced six or seven of them. It was going to be over $17,000 just for those. And and talking to him and the customer and the VR counselor, we all thought that was pretty darn pricey. And we all know that farmers and ranchers are innovators. We can learn a lot from them. And that this old boy said, you know what? He says, I've heard about this working he hit me with an idea that I think is really going to work, and maybe it's out there, and maybe some of you are aware of it. But what we're going to move ahead with this is basically for these large openings, we're going to use 12 volt electric winches that are remote control, and you can kind of see where I'm going with this. The winch attaches to the top of the gate post. The bottom of the gate post is attached permanently to the post, but yet it's flexible enough that it will fall. As you lengthen the cable on the 12 volt winch, it drops the post down. You drive across it, and then you hit the winch and retract the winch, and it puts the gate back up in position. Pretty slick, and we're going to do this for about I think roughly the 12-volt winches are going to be about $130 a piece, and then the battery for each station will be about $100. Take a solar panel for each one that's going to run probably about $150. So I'm thinking for about around $380 to $400, we're going to take care of a lot of different entryways there. So he had to explain it to me three times before I finally got it. And he says, Rod, haven't you ever just taken the top off of a gate post and just thrown it on the ground? And he said, that's what we're doing. And I said, oh, okay, I get it, you know. we're going to try it. I'm kind of anxious to see that work. It's a relatively inexpensive way to gain access to fields and pastures. And we should have that up and running. Probably be springtime before he gets them in. But I'm kind of excited to see if that works. It might be a good alternative for us to use in place of the auto gates, or I guess there's also some electric gates out there that are used, but we've never really had too much luck with those out here where it snows. snows and cattle rub on them, they get out of adjustment. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. So I think that about covers, I think that's probably not all the cattle equipment that we've recommended over the last few years, but that kind of updates on some of the newer things that are out there. And anybody got any questions now?
Or have I run everybody off with the noise from the show?
Oh,
either
was that a dog?
I bored them.
Okay. If there's no questions, well, I guess if you have any questions, you can always email Emily or I. Our email address is there. Give us a call, and we can discuss things with you.
Well, we've sent the PowerPoint out to the community of interest, and we'll have it on the website so everybody can get to it on the archives too. So. Any other questions? Any other discussion?
Did Candace happen to be on today out in Colorado?
What's that?
I guess not. I wondered if Candace was on out at Colorado today. Is she part of the group?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I was gonna ask her something, but I'll give her a call.
Hey, Rod, I got a comment.
Yeah.
I was wondering some of this equipment that you were just talking about here, the cattle working equipment. I know that Temple Grandin has had a lot to do with the circular type working equipment. I was just kind of curious if she's updated any of her original stuff, if some of this is some of her ideas too, or
I think Temple Grandin has worked with Silencer a lot. I know that's at farm shows and stuff where I've seen her do her demonstrations. I think she's had a lot to do with that development, Randy.
If you go to the Silencer website, the it's Molly MSG or Molly MOLYMSG.com. That's the Silencer website. And she's actually on there talking about some of the equipment and stuff and her perspective on some of the Silencer equipment. So she's definitely behind and backing some of that information.
Give me that website again.
It's on the toolbox database.
Oh, okay.
Silencer's already in the database.
Yep, it's www.molymsg.com.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, thanks.
I believe the manufacturing plant is down in Kansas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, we're in Kansas.
Yep.
And the cattle working equipment at Colorado State where Temple teaches, it has a silencer in the setup.
Okay, very good.
Okay, I hope they have this new turret with it as well, so we'll be able to see it at National Training Workshop.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
We're trying to get it set up to go out to the research farm for some hands-on assessment, and then we're trying to get Temple as a speaker at the National Workshop also.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else? If not, we will call it a day. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Be careful in the ice and snow. And we will talk later.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve. Merry Christmas.
Okay,
thank you, Ron and Emily.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.